Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, we're going to be getting into tax season here. I know that's an exciting and wonderful thing that people just love to talk about. But guess what? It's here. It's coming. But you know what's interesting to me is it's never too soon to get younger people involved with not only understanding how the business world works or how money works or how to make money, but also about taxes. So I've invited a special guest for the program today. Carol Topp is a CPA and an author. Love that combination. And she's on the program with us, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things related to teens and taxes. So, Carol, welcome to the program.
Oh, David, thanks so much for having me. Yep, it's a ripe topic, and talking this time about taxes for teenagers. Can't avoid it. They have to pay taxes just like the rest of us.
Well, everybody's got to pay their quote-unquote fair share, right?
Yeah, quote unquote.
Quote unquote. Well, let's get a proper introduction for our listeners. Carol, you've been a CPA since 2000?
Yep. Yes.
Very good.
12 years now. Mm-hmm.
And you are author of Micro Business for Teens, and you've also done a PBS television production. I think that's fantastic. Micro Business for Teens, and you are a member of the Ohio State CPA Speaker Bureau. A lot of other accomplishments. The website for our program today that I want to direct people to, Carol, I know you've got several websites, but the one I want to mention is Teens and Taxes, because that's very easy to remember, teensandtaxes.com, to get more information about Carol's book and a lot of good information about what she recommends for helping the younger adults or teens to understand more about how taxes and getting a job and all of that work.
Yeah, that's right. And really, the website is obviously mostly visited by parents because they're looking for information about whether their teenagers owe income tax, or these teenagers are starting their own businesses. So they're going to owe, like you and I, David, self-employment tax.
Yeah, well, let's just go ahead and hit that topic right off the bat. One of the common questions that I think people need to be thinking about or ask or may not know to ask is, does your teenager need to file a tax return?
Yeah, and I have to say the number one question I get asked is, should I put my kid's income on the parent tax return? And the answer is no, you should not. There are a few exceptions, David. You know from being a CPA that if it's only investment income, you can combine it on your tax return. It's a special form. I don't recommend it. You usually end up paying more.
Right.
But if that student, that teenager has a W-2 or has their own business, they need to file their own tax return separate from the parent.
Very good. And so they don't have to be, I think that may be another misconception, is they don't have to be 18 to file a tax return.
No, I helped my daughters file tax returns when they were 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's great. My son is 11. He's going to get to work and start earning some money so he can start paying his fair share and start paying his taxes. So they file whatever form is appropriate for them, you know, the 1040 or whatever it may be. Usually it's not super complicated, but they file those returns just like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's true. 1040 easy works if your teenager just has a standard regular job, you know,
right.
Gets that W-2, 1040 easy. And usually you file that because they want a refund of the federal income tax that's been withheld. But boy, I work with a lot of teenagers who out there starting their own micro businesses. You know, they're tutoring, they're giving piano lessons, they're running websites. Those kids have the more complicated 1040 with a Schedule C, which is to report their business income and losses. Hopefully just income, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully just income. But good old Schedule C. But that's very good because I think a lot of people don't know really where to go or what to do with this. And you've got a lot of good information on your website about this, teensandtaxes.com.
Yes. That's right. And, a pretty inexpensive ebook there, $3, and you're going to get a lot of information that's very helpful. And,
you know, getting back to the question, so a lot of these teens that have a small business, and you mentioned, you know, they might be teaching piano, they might be doing different things, they would file the 1040 with a Schedule C.
Yeah. Yep. Now, there are exceptions. Let me tell you the two most common ones, of course, babysitters and mowing grass. When your teenager goes to someone's house and works in and around their house, special classification called household employees. And that's kind of nice because they don't have to pay that awful self-employment tax that you and I do as business owners. But those are about the only two exceptions, babysitters and mowing grass. Other kids like, you know, the piano teachers or the website owners or the app developers that I know, they're all paying self-employment tax.
Now, if they're not paying it, let's say you have the regular babysitter that comes over and they get, you know, you pay them whatever you pay per hour. The babysitter doesn't have to pay the Social Security tax, but is there something on the flip side for the person paying it?
No, only when that babysitter turns 18. There was
okay.
a special part of the tax code that if the teenager's under 18 and under, is I think what it reads, 18 and under, then and we're going to work in someone's home and they're not a professional nanny, you know, meaning
right.
a high school kid. No, that's a wonderful occupation for teenagers. Babysitting and mowing grass, going to someone's house is still, from a tax standpoint, one of the best businesses you can start. But, of course, kids are more ambitious than that, and they're doing all kinds of other wonderful things.
Yes, they are, and that's a wonderful thing. Let me do this, Carol. We're going to take a quick break. We have Carol Topp on the line with us, a CPA and an author. Website is teensandtaxes.com, and she's author of Microbusiness for Teens. And the website's a great website. Go check that out. But we're going to do the quick break, Carol. Come back. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the taxation issues. So stay right there, ladies and gentlemen.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Well, welcome back. I've got Carol Topp on the line with us. She's a CPA, and we're talking about teens and taxes, and teensandtaxes.com is the website. Now, I was going to ask you another kind of related question, Carol, on this, the whole issue of teens paying, filing their taxes. You know, the obvious question is somebody mowing your grass, you know, summer jobs, babysitting. How do I say this the right way? A lot of them don't file a return. They just keep the money and they pocket it and they don't pay taxes. So
yeah,
I guess the question is, what can we tell them to, besides their whatever moral or ethical responsibilities they are learning, what do we tell them about the advantages of actually starting to pay taxes and reporting income?
Oh, yeah, good point. You know, for the most part, they're not filing because they really don't have to. They fall underneath a certain threshold that I discuss over at Teens and Taxes. $5,950 is the federal threshold. If you earn more than that, then you're going to pay federal income tax. And $400 as a self-employed person, if you make a profit of more than $400, you got to pay self-employment tax. But as we talked about, that doesn't apply to babysitters and grass mowers. So most of these kids are not doing anything illegal by not reporting. But, hey, you know, 1 year I filed a tax return for my daughter when she was 16, reported her babysitting income. Now, it sounds unusual, but the reason I did it is because I set up a Roth IRA.
Oh, there you go.
For her. Yep, with all the earned income she had that year, including a microbusiness she had and her babysitting income. She didn't owe any income tax, fine, but I wanted to establish, you know, legally that she had this earned income, and we set up a Roth IRA for her that year.
That's very good. Let's back up a little bit because I want to go back through that. There's two numbers you threw out there. You had the threshold, which was just under $6,000, to $5,950. Now, what is that a threshold for?
That is the threshold of when any individual, teenager or adult, would have to start paying federal income tax.
Okay, so that's for the federal income tax.
Yes.
All right. I want to make sure everybody got that. And then the $400, that was for net profit of a business?
That's it. That's right. And that's to pay what we call a self-employment tax.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the same as Social Security and Medicare for self-employed people.
That's an awfully low
threshold.
Yeah, and the problem with that, Carol, of course, you say it, and it sounds so innocent, but it's double what everybody pays who's an employee because you're paying both sides.
Well, you know, 1 year my daughter was about 15. She gave piano lessons. She earned $900 profit, you know, for giving piano lessons for the year. That was kind of nice for her. She didn't owe any federal income tax. That she owed 15% of her profit, about 15%, in self-employment, that Social Security and Medicare tax. And that was really kind of a
eye-opener.
Eye-opener, good way to put it.
Eye-opener, yeah. And she was, what, 16 at the time, you said?
That's right.
Well, you know, Carol, it's not too soon to start paying into Social Security and Medicare.
Well, and I tell you, you know, this is the grown-up world, and it was part of the understanding of, well, you're going to have to, you know, incorporate those taxes when you set your fees, and, you know, a taxpayer makes a good voter, in my opinion, so let them learn young what it's like to be an adult and they'll be smarter for it when they start operating a bigger business.
Well, I think that that's a great lesson. And the thing you got to next before I backed you up is, you know, the even though she doesn't owe any tax, do being able to do a Roth contribution, how much did she put into the Roth?
You know, I'm thinking that year it was about $1,500.
Okay.
It's a little tricky. Sometimes you got to do a little hunting to find a company, a brokerage firm, or somebody like that will let you up open a Roth for a minor.
Yeah.
And with a small dollar amount. But, you know, she's in college now. She has $4,500 in that Roth.
All right. Well, you know, that's just, that's fabulous. So, you know, that $4,500, you know, if it could sit there, oh, I don't know, say for 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I'm sure you've already run the numbers, but that's just staggering how much something like that can become at just being able to put it away now.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, obviously what we did is I let her keep her earnings. I matched her earnings and gave her, put the money into the Roth for her. So, you know, that's a great thing for a grandparent or a parent to do, to say, you know, son, what did you earn this year? I'm going to match it and put it in a Roth IRA for you.
Well, I did them. I couldn't help myself. I grabbed my HP 12C, Carol, and I just dated myself with the calculator. But I used my HP 12C, and $4,500 today in 50 years at 7%, modest rate of growth, 7%, that's $44,000.
Good night. Yeah.
Never pay tax on that ever.
That's right.
Under current tax law.
And she could take it out, you know this, for a down payment on her house and avoid the 10% penalty if she wants to.
Yeah, there you go.
Started a nice nest egg, so... You know, I wanted to teach her young. You put money aside. When you earn it, you put it aside.
That's a great lesson. It's a great lesson. And more great lessons over at teensandtaxes.com. Carol Topp is our guest, a CPA and an author. I love that combination. I'm going to take a short break. Carol, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have one of those CPA slash authors on the line, and her name is Carol Topp, and the website, teensandtaxes.com. Welcome back, Carol.
Hey, David. Thanks so much.
Hey, listen, you know, I jumped in with all kinds of enthusiasm talking about the taxes. If you don't mind, let's back up a little bit and talk about probably one of the things that is, you can't pay tax till you make money. So let's talk a little bit about some of the ideas or suggestions you might have for parents as well as teens that are listening to the program, how teens can earn money without a job. You know, back when I turned 16, I went right down to the local grocery store and I got a job as a bag boy and I did the traditional thing. Before that, I had done a lot of lawn mowing. So what would you say for kids these days, for teens, some of the ideas of how to make money with a micro business, perhaps, instead of that traditional job?
Yeah, well, there's tons of ideas out there, and I do list them over at microbusinessforteens.com. It's just full of ideas of real-life teenagers. Some of my favorite ones are kids who offer what they already know or already own. So something like, we talked about piano lessons, drum lessons. I know a kid who's making $100 a month, guitar lessons, and he's great. He's happy. Other kids are writing apps for the iPhone, are launching websites. Some of them like to do more service-oriented things like virtual assistants. I hired a virtual assistant. She was a college kid. Let's see. What else? Oh, so many things. Some of them are selling products, you know, on some of the craft websites and things like that. And that's fun. Crafts and products carry some, you know, some problems, inventory and things. So usually I encourage them to think about what kind of service they can provide, either a twist on something old like babysitting or a, you know, brand new service they can do from home using the internet, using stuff they already know.
I think it's amazing, Carol, that with the technology, my first exposure to computers was I got out of PE one day a week and they let me go into the computer lab in eighth grade and they had these enormous computers and, you know, we did basically basic programming,
you know,
line 10, line 20, line 30. And if you could make a little flag on the screen, you were a superstar. But today with the technology, you know, you mentioned teens being able to help with, you know, app design and all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. They're extremely talented and they're less fearful than you and I are. They just, what they lack is a little bit of understanding of customer service, marketing, how to present themselves. But boy, they learn awfully quick, you know, how to, you know, use somebody as a good example of how to create a website and get out word about what they offer. My daughter put up, you know, a Facebook page and another simple website, and she did senior pictures for her friends and word spread. And she loved photography. She already owned the camera. It didn't cost her anything to put up a little bit of advertising, and she was in business.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's interesting to see the interest in business. My kids are they're 11 and under, so I've got a little time to work with. But you know, it's funny. We've got family Monopoly night, and they all three are they give me a run for my money. No pun intended.
Yeah, and sometimes those younger kids, and this is okay, but they have a tendency to think about a product they can sell. And the whole idea of a microbusiness is let them start it, let them run it. You're going to have to give them a little more guidance from them those younger ages. But then it should be easy to close down when they get tired of it. Then they can go on to the next thing that they're interested in. So that's the beauty of a microbusiness. They learn a lot, they earn some money, then they can go on to something else. But I don't want them to spend too much money. Or I don't want them to go into debt for something that they don't know if they're going to stick with. Kids are fickle. But by the time they're high schoolers, wow, they can run this themselves.
Isn't that amazing? Well, and just a little word of caution for our listeners that I'm sure you would also agree with, Carol, is because you may be dealing with the child's personal identity information, you know, the identity thieves now, they've targeted children and their Social Security numbers, because a lot of times, you know, those Social Security numbers aren't really being used. And so just be careful to be observant and protect that information, even though it's a child, you know, be very careful of it, because that is one of the things that's happening.
Yeah, well, and one of the first students I worked with, Philip, I believe he was probably about 16 or 17 when I helped him set up an employer identification number for his business, just keep his Social Security number secret.
Prior. There you go. Very good.
Yeah.
Good work, Carol. You're on it. Carol Topp is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, a CPN and author. The website we've mentioned a couple times, which is I've already been there. It's really a good website, teensandtaxes.com. And we're going to take another short break. Carol, we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Carol Topp with us, and we are talking about teens and taxes and starting a business and putting them to work, which is a good thing. You know, I think a lot of people can tell the story of what they did when they were a kid that are adults now. And how, in fact, you'll love this, Carol. I had a gentleman in the other day in my office for some financial planning, and he's in his early 80s, and he came in, and he said, you know, here's where I'm at, and I need some help with some things, so I'm talking to him about it. And he said that his first job, you'll love this, his first job was working at a little general store, and he got 25 cents a week.
Yeah, a week.
A
oh
week.
My gosh.
Then he said, "I was working for my dad." I'm like, "Okay, well, that explains
okay.
it."
Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, that's still a great experience for a kid, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I share that story because here's an 80-year-old man now who's come to me, and he's done quite well. Okay, mm-hmm. Very well for himself, and it all came from that early experience of getting that indoctrination and having a work ethic that came from his dad helping him understand, you know, the importance of working and getting paid, and it's just never too soon to start. And so here we are, flash forward 8 years. Here's proof of a lifetime of impact that this had on this gentleman.
Well, and you and I both know, but running a business, you learn so much. You learn so much about your own strengths. You learn so much maturity, responsibility. I just love seeing the teenagers that I work with just kind of grow up in a hurry, because you know, they've been asked to shoulder responsibility that I think they are fully capable of shouldering, with a little guidance, a little coaching on the side from mom and dad, or better yet, somebody like me who's not mom and dad.
Yeah, that makes a difference, right?
Yeah, and I just love to see what they're going to learn while they're still earning some money. I just love it.
Well, and I'll tell you something else, too, that kind of just slips right in naturally with this conversation is our teens that, for whatever reason, either might come into some a chunk of money, not necessarily from employment, but from maybe an inheritance or, you know, a personal injury settlement or something else that they've received. They are also wise to be very cognizant of this tax ramifications. And they, you know, even though they may be younger, they definitely need to get, it's never too soon to see a CPA, I guess is what I want to say.
That's right. I had one client who unfortunately lost her father, which is unfortunate, but from the Social Security Administration, from his pension, she starts getting checks.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to have a little conversation about what's this money going to go for? Well, she was looking at college. So that was a mature decision. I'm going to help reduce my college debt and apply it there. But she also knew it wasn't going to last forever. So you can't grow dependent upon it thinking, you know, all this money is going to be there forever because it's not. So it does take careful planning and, you know, treating them like the grown-ups that we're trying to raise them to be.
Having an expectation. You know, people, there are certainly going to be times when people rise to the expectations. And it's a great conversation to have with children and taxes, money management, business startups, if they want to do that, budgeting, understanding how money works. You know, doing what I do naturally, I talk to my children about, you know, how money works and what things cost and, you know, the difference between charity and taxes and all those things. And it's just a really good conversation.
It is, and you can have great conversations around the dinner table or when you're driving in the car with them, especially if they're starting their own business. You're going to have great, simple conversations like, well, what do you think you should charge? And, you know, well, that depends on what your costs are. And then they just start thinking, you know, let's use those math skills that they've been learning in school and start applying them.
Amen to that. Well, Carol, we're out of time. Carol Topp is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, CPA and author. Teensandtaxes.com. Carol, thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, thank you, Dave. It was my pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.